Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have just heard from the lectern that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've also just heard read to us from the lectern that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For a few moments this morning, I want to speak to you about sin. Specifically a sin. It's the sin of Asaph. It's the sin of Asaph as portrayed for us by Asaph himself in the 73rd Psalm. If you wish to follow along on the text, you'll find the 73rd Psalm printed out in the blue hymnals. It is omitted from the red hymnals. The sin of Asaph was envy. And envy is a sin. Psalm 73 is all about the sin of envy. How it made its way into the life of a man by the name of Asaph, and how once again it went out of the life of Asaph. Psalm 73 speaks to us of the sin of envy. This is perfectly clear from the very first verse of the psalm, which is the basic statement that is the platform upon which the entire psalm is built. Psalm 73, verse 1 reads simply, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." But you say that does not speak of sin. The word sin is not in the first verse of Psalm 73. Seems a little difficult to find a thought of sin in there. On the contrary, this verse, Psalm 73, verse 1, says everything there is to be said about the sin of envy. You see, envy cuts us off from the recognition of God's goodness toward us. That's what makes it such a sin, and that's what makes it so deadly. Envy separates us from the gospel of Jesus Christ, where alone the goodness of God is found by sinful man. Envy is a threat to our very existence as Christians in this world. Listen to the warning that is given to us by Asaph himself in the second verse of the psalm. "But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped." Asaph almost stepped out of the kingdom of light and life and into the grasp of darkness and death. He almost slipped past the borders of heaven and was about to fall into the gaping pit of hell itself. Envy, the sin of envy, is a matter of life and death, and it is not meant to be taken lightly. What then is its source? Where does it come from? From what direction does it strike? Asaph tells you in 10 verses, verses 3 to 12, "I have 10 minutes. I'll tell you in 10 words." Asaph's referent was the ungodly world rather than God's word. Verse 3, Asaph admits, "I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked." In verse 12, he says, "Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease they have increased in wealth." The spiritual static of natural revelation, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the Wall Street Journal, Playboy magazine, began to block out of Asaph's heart and soul and blur from his field of vision the glory of God's special revelation, the Christ of the Scriptures, and the Scriptures of the Christ. What effect did all this have on Asaph's spiritual state? He began to wonder if it was really worth being a Christian in this world. The thought began to make its way into his mind. Is it really a great honor to be counted among God's elect? Look all around you. Can't you see it? God treats them better than he treats us. Asaph says in verse 13 of our psalm, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I've been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. How did Asaph, whose feet were almost gone, but not quite, whose steps had well nigh slipped, but not yet, how did Asaph keep from stumbling, slipping, falling, and dashing himself to ruin? He traces the path of his recovery for us in verses 15, 16, and 17 of this 73rd Psalm. There are three steps to Asaph's recovery. Step one is simply this. He bit his lip. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of thy children. Is envy making inroads into your life? Then start retaliating by biting your lip. Why did Asaph bite his lip? He bit his tongue because he was one of God's people and he knew it. He identified with those in the church, not really with those outside the church. He had been circumcised just as you have been baptized. It was his association with the people of God and his respect for the people of God that kept Asaph from going off half-cocked. There is truly a communion of the saints, and just as truly do we saints need that communion. It is good for us to be associated with the people of God, even when we don't feel holy, even when we don't think godly thoughts, especially when we don't feel holy, especially when we don't think godly thoughts. Step two in Asaph's road to recovery from the sin of envy is simply this. He didn't hide the sin from himself. Now, we know we cannot hide our sins from God, and we know we should not display them before all men to see. But in the case of sin, and especially in the case of sin of envy, we dare not hide it from ourselves. Asaph was just not comfortable with his envy, even though he could not resolve his problem by himself or reason his way back into holiness. Self-justification never completely crowded out self-examination in the heart of Asaph. And humanly speaking, this was his spiritual lifeline. When I pondered, he says in verse 16, to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. It pained him to think through the problem of his envy, but think through it he did. And that brought him to the third and the final and the crowning step of his recovery from the sin of envy. The turning point in Asaph's struggle with the sin of envy is the 17th verse of Psalm 73. I was troubled. It was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then, and only then, I perceived their end. Asaph made no real progress against the sin of envy until he came in to the very presence of God. And then he began to understand the whole world situation in which he was. Special revelation, the sanctuary, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the promises of the Holy Savior apprehended in prophecy and type. In short, God's special word of revelation in Christ to his special people was Asaph's great epiphany. Only then did Asaph face up to the vanities of sin, the futilities of this present fleeting world, and the follies of all ungodly living. Only then did he realize how they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away with sudden terrors, like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when aroused, thou wilt despise their very image. What was the result in Asaph's life of his withstanding the sin of envy? Well, you'll have to read verse 21 to 28 of Psalm 73 for yourself, but I can summarize it for you. Asaph left the state of confusion, and he entered into the state of confession. In verse 21 and 22, he confessed his sin and its folly. In verse 23 and 24, he confessed his faith and its comfort. In verse 25 and 26, he confessed God's grace and its power. And then in verse 27 and 28, he finally confessed that man's good can be found nowhere but in God's goodness to man. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all of thy works. Dear Christian friends, the next time Satan approaches you, and he will, and the next time he promises you the world, and he will, the next time he promises you its riches and its pleasures, its honors and its glory, try throwing this into his teeth. Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then go your way and remember Psalm 73, verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Part with Satan and walk with Asaph. The sin of Asaph was the sin of envy. The end of envy is the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.